from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Monday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you back in studio, back from a great couple days in Las Vegas. Thanks to Circa for having us out there for their contest weekend. We'll see you in about 2 months. We'll be back there in 2 months for the
details
Chiefs.
For you next week, but that's, we can't wait.
Yeah, Chiefs Raiders weekend. So a great trip out there, and appreciate some of you that actually stopped by. Like I said, we had a couple listeners that had their fantasy football drafts out there. We had a listener that, as you guys recalled from Thursday, happened to be on the same flight, which corroborated my story about the gentleman and sitting in front of me. On the flight back, Cody.
Credit, he did.
Nobody sitting in front of me on the flight back. There were 70 open seats. You wasted your $50. There was no need.
No, but the best part about it was exit row by myself.
Yeah.
I had an exit row to myself.
Mm-hmm. You do love that exit row.
Do you know what kind of, that's the best seat.
I know.
All the extra leg room, no one to my left, literally no one to my right. All right, spread out. It's fantastic. Yeah,
but because there was 70 open seats, I felt even better about not spending the $50.
That was the right call.
I was two rows behind Cody, and nobody was sitting in front of me. But anyway, good to be back in studio. Weird one today, right? There's a doubleheader, and we're going to get to the Royals. So only a one-hour show. We're going to hand things off to Vern at 11 o'clock before the Royals begin a massive stretch of 7 games over the next, 9 days? Against the Cleveland Guardians, something like that. So we'll get into that here in about a half hour. But the news of the day is the Kansas City Chiefs and bringing back an old friend in Juju Smith-Schuster. Multiple reports now, including from Jordan Schultz, that Juju Smith-Schuster is signing on a vet minimum deal to come back to Kansas City. We'll get to the repercussions in a second, but just on the surface, reminder, Juju Smith-Schuster was cut a few weeks ago by the New England Patriots. They're willing to eat 7-ish million dollars to not have him on their team. And that's a wide receiver room that's not all that impressive in New England. They have a young quarterback that likely will start week one, although Jacoby Brissett's hurt. So I should just say maybe he ends up starting because Jacoby Brissett is hurt. So last year, Juju, 11 games, 47 targets, 29 catches, 260 yards and a touchdown. So there's a couple ways you can look at it. You can say, hey, the knees are shot. You could also say, hey, he had Mac Jones and Zappy and company throwing him the football. Was it that? Was it that, or was it Juju Smith-Schuster at 27 years old, who's still very young, but having the knee problems? Because a year ago, like last March, a lot of us wanted him back in Kansas City.
Yeah, but that was before, in fairness.
That's what I'm saying. So over a year ago, wanted him back in Kansas City. But a lot has changed, I think, with him. So the signing, if you keep reasonable expectations, makes sense. You get a guy that is comfortable with Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is clearly comfortable with him. Your offensive coordinator is comfortable with Juju Smith-Schuster. All of that is true. And if he's suddenly the sixth receiver, and that's an upgrade over, I don't know who we think the sixth is. Is that
Justin
Ross? Is that Sky Moore?
Sky Moore?
I would say it's probably like Sky Moore.
Tony?
I think Ross is the odd man out with Juju.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll get to the repercussions potentially with this, but just in terms of what you're expecting from Juju, I think as long as you're expecting him to be the sixth receiver and you're not expecting him to be the guy he was in 2022, then I think it's a great signing.
So what I'm not offended by this deal, similar to the conversations that we talked about with Justin Ross or Sky Moore, absent Kadarius Toney, because I didn't want him anymore, but most of the back end guys on the wide receiver list, McColl, Sky, whatever. I wasn't like offended if that guy was going to make the roster. And for what this deal will likely be, 1 year, $1.2 million, there is very little downside. He could play zero games for the Chiefs, and I wouldn't come on this airway and be like, I can't believe they botched this so bad. Eh, it's $1.2 million. It's hard for it to really be messed up. I am shocked by the optimism social media seems to have for Juju Smith-Schuster's career revival in Kansas City, because some of the words that I think people are consistently using are straight up not true. Like, the Chiefs just wanted a reliable wide receiver from Mahomes. Reliable? Juju Smith-Schuster is one of the least reliable wide receivers in the NFL. He plays like half of the time over the last five seasons. He either gets 800 yards or two. Like, he's not a reliable target. You can't rely on him to stay on the field. He wasn't reliable in his own offense last year. And yet, 2 years ago, he was good as a third down guy, had 900 yards receiving. But that was 2 years ago and knee problems before. I don't think he's that. I think he's probably a 30-catch guy for 300 yards and a touchdown. So I don't want to come on the air and pretend like this signing is something means way more than it does. I think it's just a veteran guy that the team likes having around, and they like him more than Justin Ross.
Yeah, so if we're simplifying it, is the wide receiver room better with him in it? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, I think that's true. I agree with what you had to say about reliability. When he's on the field, if he's available, is he reliable? Is he going to be in the right spot? Does he know the offense? That's true. But to the extent of being available for 17 games, the great news is they're not counting on him.
And how fast is he going to get to the right spot?
They're not asking him to be there for 17 games. No. It's if there's an injury later on in the season for one game and they're down, well, you know, suspension, all that kind of stuff, that's what it's a safety valve for you, and literally on the field, I think at times a safety valve for Patrick Mahomes, like he was a couple years ago. But just be reasonable with expectations on what to expect. I don't think this is going to be the same type of production by any means that you got. Remember, the guy was almost a 1,000-yard receiver in 2022. I think some of last year also was just being on a crappy team, being with a crappy quarterback, and so there's that.
And just like, yeah, I get they're it. Not going through the
but
motions.
But the great thing is they're not asking him to come in here and be the 3 or 4. He's probably the 6th best case scenario. And if there's an injury, he bumps up to 4 or 5. Like, that's fine. I like the signing if we're being honest about what to expect. Why not? I mean, fan favorite in Kansas City when he was here. People liked him. Fun personality.
Yeah, I
wanted him back here a year and a half ago. But he's the fact that the Patriots were willing to eat $7 million should tell us a lot. So just be reasonable with expectations, and it will be good.
And that's not a good wide receiver unit in New England. And they have a young, based on Jacoby Brissett getting hurt, very likely Drake May might start week 1. Teams don't tend to give up weapons for their rookie quarterback, especially, as you're calling, reliable veteran options. In that case, I think if you have reasonable expectations, no reason to dislike this deal at all. It comes off as I like dislike this, or because I'm like, I don't really see the point. Like, honestly, had they not made the move, if I had found out, it'd be like, they almost signed Juju but didn't. I would have come out on the air and been like, why didn't they do that? They missed their opportunity. I kind of nothing it in a way, because I think at the end of the day, he's a 300-yard receiver, and that might have been what Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney were over the last couple of seasons. So does it massively move the needle? No. Do I think on third down they got a little bit better? Yeah. Yeah, 3rd and 5 in the third quarter. Is there a better chance Juju Smith-Schuster would make that catch than Sky Moore? Absolutely. So for those little bit, that like 2% better, that 1% better you get, cool, make the move.
Yeah.
But I'm not also like dying for it.
Yeah, I think that's, again, that's fair. The wide receiver room is better with him in it. And that is with him being the number 6 receiver, essentially. Okay, so what, if anything, does this mean, though? Because I'm sure we all had the same reaction right away when we saw the news. Okay, what does this mean? Does this mean something else is up? Does this mean Rashee Rice is actually getting suspended? Does this mean Hollywood Brown is out for more? I don't know if you agree with me. I think it has nothing to do with Hollywood Brown's health. They are just not the same type of receiver whatsoever. So this signing means nothing for Hollywood Brown's path to returning from injury.
Agreed.
The other part, Rashee Rice. I also don't think it really has anything to do with that.
He does feel like a better safety net for that. Like, if you're just like playing the game, then like maybe he gets suspended.
They potentially could run the same type of routes. I'll give you that. I thought like Mecole Hardman is more the safety valve for Rashee Rice suspension. Also, because on Friday when you and I were coming back from Vegas, we were starting to see where the NFL was going with punishments for a lot of players, and all the players that got punished, you know, 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, all of them had their legal situations resolved.
Looked up every single one.
In court already. Rashee Rice's is still pending. So I don't think this means like, oh my gosh, they know the suspension's coming down tomorrow. I don't think that's what this is.
But on the off, I think it's, I don't think it's meant to do that because the Chiefs know a suspension is coming. But I do think if you're looking at back end roster availability and you're factoring in the one final, like, let's say swing reason to sign Juju Smith-Schuster rather than just go what you go in-house, the 1% chance the league just decides to do something sure. wild this week yeah. and suspend him, at least he's there. Because you don't really want to go into the season with no Rashee Rice and no Hollywood Brown to start the year and then just be stuck really legitimately running Justin Watson out there is the one or Xavier Worthy is the two or anything like it. At least you'd feel comfortable for a game having Juju run slowly towards the first down marker. And that's fine. Like, if it's a slight difference, but I don't think it's a Rashee suspension. Maybe you and I might be way off on this because we have been pretty steadfast for the better part of a month now. I do not think Rashee Rice is getting suspended.
Right.
Between the people I've spoken to in the organization, the way they typically handle these things, and everything else in between, I have a hard time imagining Rashee Rice getting suspended. And wouldn't it have happened when they decided to suspend everybody last week all at once? Now we have a timeline about 2 weeks before the season next year. You can expect them to be like, Rashee Rice, suspended. And they do some earlier, depending on how quickly the legal process gets sorted out. But no, I don't think it means anything for that. It probably does mean the end. Like, what we got to figure out is, who does it mean the end of the
Because they're not keeping
for?
Eight wide receivers. So, no. 7 is the max. Okay, let's do this game again. We already know. I think Mecole Hardman is making this team.
I think we shouldn't put him in the guaranteed category for this conversation.
Okay, so let's guarantees Worthy, Rice, Justin Watson, and Hollywood. Okay, so those are 4. So then we've got 3 more spots.
Do you think Mecole's getting one?
I think Mecole, because of the return game is why I'm confident in that.
I feel good about
that. It's another weapon that Mahomes trusts. He's been in this offense for a while, and they're not using Worthy as a punt returner because of that. So unless you think, if you think Mecole's not making it, that means you're telling me you think Remigio for sure is making it. I think one of those guys makes it. So I'll go Mecole. I think Sky Moore and Juju. I think Justin Ross goes to the practice squad. And I was texting with Bink about this, and he's correct, because he you know how Bink is. He digs deeper on this kind of stuff. He said, hey, Juju could go on the practice squad. Veterans are allowed. Who's going to sign him? My response to that, though, is like, who's going to sign Justin Ross? You can do the same thing. But I guess there's a scenario where if you don't think Juju's up to speed yet, could Juju go on the practice squad for a couple weeks to keep Ross on the... Sure, I guess it's a possibility. I just am not that worried about losing Justin Ross, I guess. So
I'm not either.
Put him on the practice squad. If he doesn't make it through, he doesn't make it through.
If he decides that this is a year he wants to sign to a different practice squad, fine. Sure. That happens sometimes with veterans who, Amir Smith-Marset. Sometimes other teams are more likely to give you an opportunity.
Ross and Remigio on the practice squad if they make it through. Great.
The one guy that I think is interesting here is... Because there are reports that, like, they've been interested in Juju for a little bit. They didn't have Sky Moore play. So, like, he was in uniform, but he didn't really play.
He played a little bit in the second half and also had the kickoff return.
And so they used him less than a lot of the other guys. It seemed like they were on the fringe. So if he didn't play that much, a lot of people would go to assume the normal thing, which is he's on the roster and they're going to be careful with Sky Moore as a result of that. But that was also before Juju Smith-Schuster was on the roster. How much do you think if Juju was on the roster a week ago, does Sky Moore play? And my answer is probably more. And so I got to think he's on the fringe. But I still think it's the 4 we talked about. I still think McColl's on this team, although I think some people have wavered on that. I don't think it's unfair to waver on it.
Well, if Mecole,
but he's proven his value to this team, I feel like, over the last couple of years, so I don't really get it.
If you don't think Mecole makes a team, then I mean, to me, then you...
You think Sky Antonio are making
it. Well, no. I mean, if you don't think Mecole's making it, then you must think Remigio's making it because of the special teams aspect of the two players. So I don't think they would cut Mecole and Remigio.
So the 5 make it. That's Mecole and the 4 that we talked about as being locks. I think Sky Moore's on the team, and I think Juju's on the team, which means no more Tony, no more Justin Ross. Those who I think are the casualties
Ross of, the practice
of this
squad,
move.
So it's a 4-player debate between Sky, Tony, Remigio, and Justin Ross.
Remigio, I think,
is just the last spot.
I just think Remigio's been shoved so far down this thing. He did not have an impressive preseason. I think he was not on the team anyway. I don't think that Juju shoved him off.
The Dave Tope comments is what made it interesting, though.
He really was banging the table for him.
Yeah. And look, you can maybe squeak him through to the practice squad.
I mean, at that point in the conversation, you're talking about who do you want more, Nico Remigio or Kadarius Toney, potentially, is where the conversation lies.
I think everybody's kind of just done with the Tony thing.
Oh, I think we are, too, but what if they keep him? for whatever reason, what if they
keep him? How is he making this roster now?
I don't know, but what if they keep him as wide receiver 7 over Sky and over Remigio and over Justin Ross?
I'll be offended. I've already made that very clear on this show. I'll be offended.
At least at that point,
it's time to go.
Drew, at least at that point, it'd be wide receiver 7. And so I think even they wouldn't be able to get him on the field because they don't, you don't have 7 receivers. You don't have 7.
They don't even dress.
I was like, you don't have 7 receivers active on game day.
If he isn't playing, keep a guy that's more useful, like Nico Remigio, for example.
Yeah, I'm fine with Sky still making this team. I just think Kadarius Toney, there's no reason to have him around anymore.
And it's hard to go away from. I know he hasn't been that great, but it's hard to go away from a second round pick. Even not that they're still holding out hope, but just having him around because you never know.
But I understand that. But also, teams, if it's just not gonna happen, they'll move on. I mean, they moved on from.
Could there be?
I don't know.
They did it in year one with Breland Speaks or year two, whatever.
Is there another layer to this where we're not thinking and we wouldn't know unless we were in the room? But is there after cutdown or before cutdowns tomorrow afternoon? Is there some team that says screw it, we'll offer a conditional 6-4
Blake,
Sky Moore,
Tony,
or you know, because that can change the math, of course, and it could skew this entire.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team out there that's willing to give you a 7th that turns into a 6th for Sky Moore. So, I mean, there were teams, according to Jordan Schultz, who broke this Juju Smith-Schuster news, there were teams this week, multiple teams this week, calling on John Metchie III because the Texans' wide receiver room is so packed. They're like, hey, probably don't even need that guy. You interested? And that's probably for a greater value in trade and all those things. There's always teams that are going to. They had Sky Moore at the same level of the draft you did. They think he's been misutilized with you, and it's a 7th-round pick. For the same reason the Chiefs were willing to take a shot on Kadarius Toney for a 3rd, there is a team out there, in my opinion, who should be willing to take a chance on Sky Moore for a conditional 7th. Because, you know, if you're on the back end of your... The Chiefs' roster's pretty deep at wide receiver at 6, 7, 8. Some rosters aren't as good as the Chiefs are at that back end.
Someone said, what's the reason to keep Sky Moore? I'm thinking of it mainly also teams.
Return special teams player.
Well, also teams usually don't cut away from a second round pick that quickly that hasn't had any off the field issues. You know,
that was what I was saying. Yeah.
You know, he is entering year 3. We all agree he's been enormously disappointing. That's a fact.
Yes.
But teams still usually don't separate from someone in year 3 that they draft in the second round. Again, that has been squeaky clean off the field. If there were off the field issues, different story.
Or they got to like, they can't just be bad. They got to stink out loud bad. Not like be semi-productive.
Yeah, by all accounts, he's been a great teammate. Has had no off the field issues. Nope. So that's why I think they will roll into year 3 with Sky still as a number 6, number 7 wide receiver.
Do you think Nico Remigio makes it through to the practice squad without getting signed?
Yeah.
Sure. It's hard to predict.
Because maybe that's the guy that I think the truth is,
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be busted up if he isn't.
Yeah, I know.
There's other wide receivers available for that role. And I know he's done a fine job, and I appreciate how hard Nico Remigio has worked to make this team. But some, you know, like just like the 4A baseball player who never gets the call, sometimes you just aren't quite good enough.
A lot of people on the text line, 913-586-7965 right here on 96.5 The Fan. A lot of people wanting them to keep Justin Ross over the names we're mentioning. I think Justin Ross is intriguing to a lot of fans. We had him on at camp. Seems like somebody that recognizes there's another level to his game that he has to reach in order to make the team. He offers something that they haven't had. We all agree, but you know, the camp that he had this year, I'll give you this, the camp he had this year in preseason has actually been more realistic to the expectation the way he's discussed. Like last year, you would have thought he was having the camp that he was having this year. He's actually had a much better training camp this year than he had last year.
So I think it's important to note that last year, Justin Ross played in 10 games and Sky Moore played in 14. Kadarius Toney played in 13. Okay, so they played in not quite the same number of games, but what was the production relative to the number of games they played? Sky Moore got 244 yards. Now, they were trying to throw to him a lot early. Kadarius Toney had 163. And although Justin Ross managed to be dressed for 10 games last year, he finished the season with 53 yards. So when they're looking at this on paper, and this is not just meant to when they're looking at this on paper, he had an opportunity to, in a wide receiver room that had no one, they would have given anybody a shot who was productive last year, 53 yards. And so, you know, like it's just a loss you can accept.
Yeah, I wonder if his role ever would have been different. We'll never know. And it was by his own doing, right? He had the legal issue midseason last year that prompted him to miss some games in the middle of the season. Talking about Justin Ross.
Yeah.
And so, did you know, if he wouldn't have missed that, was that the time where he would have had an opportunity? We'll never
Maybe.
Know. We'll
but
never
Richie James know, but. Was more productive. Mecole Hardman yeah. was more productive.
Are you surprised
in
they didn't
less
bring
games?
Back, are you surprised they didn't bring back Richie James, Cody, instead of Juju?
Richie James?
Instead of Juju Smith-Schuster.
No, Juju was a much bigger wide receiver for them.
Shout out Richie James.
At the time here. I also saw Jody Fortson got cut. Should we be asking for him to come back instead of Irv Smith?
I guess reports down there is he did not have a great camp at all.
Did Irv Smith have a good camp?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess he didn't have an awful camp to that point of maybe Jody Fortson was so,
I did
was
not
so bad.
At all.
It's just,
yeah, Fortson, unfortunately, his body has failed him throughout his career. It sucks for him. We've talked about that. But no, I don't think they're bringing him back.
Speaking of bodies, do you think Juju Smith-Schuster will still take care of his?
Well, Juju, we do get to play these gyms again now that he's back.
My body is my career, and Jimmy My Pubes is no different.
I miss those.
How you doing? About to start.
The Gillette ads
that
are back.
That is still the most egregious part of the entire ad.
The Gillette ads are back. Juju's back in Kansas City, man. Drew, you remember these ads.
My yes. body is my career, and Jimmy My Pubes is no different.
My body is my career. He likes to be, you know, he's hypothetically shaving seconds off of his time by keeping himself well-trimmed. You don't know.
Hang on a second.
How much time is he taking down?
Okay.
You know?
0.000.
That might be the difference between a catcher or not. Wide receivers hard to get open in the NFL.
Was it last August that Albert Breer was on like a station in Boston and said that Juju's knees were close to exploding? And then
exploding.
That's the word that was used. Now then Juju quickly was asked about it, and of course he's like, if anything, I think my knees are getting stronger every day. And
that was not true, though.
And then last year, he didn't have a great year. I just, you know, the question is, how much was that him? How much was that being in New England with crappy quarterback play? He's obviously not the same receiver he was in 2022. I think if we got some truth serum there, I think he would admit that. But I think he can help this team in the role that it looks like he's going to have, which is spot start, you know, if injuries and kind of go from there.
Somebody said they're claiming that's why they brought him back.
For what?
Manscaping.
Oh, I'm pretty sure everybody else can handle that.
Veteran leadership in that department, you know?
Pretty sure everybody
some
else
of those rookies maybe haven't figured out how to take care of themselves the proper way.
I'm pretty sure that's something that people took care of.
I don't know if those
ago.
Two things should be in the same sentence. Veteran leadership and manscaping, Cody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's something.
You don't think that it can apply to different areas? We talk about this like, maybe, you know, like veterans have to show people how to like tip a clubby. If, you know, like there are things that maybe some people don't learn. And if you think just every single person is good at personal grooming, there's just no way that's true.
But if you hear the word manscaping, there's only one thing that comes to mind. It's not. It's not gold shaving his face. Jeez. Did you like my college football take over the weekend?
Jake over on Twitch says, Cody, maybe take that commercial seriously. You should shave in time before the hot dog derby race. That could make the difference. Shave some time off.
That's been your problem.
If only I had, you know, really taken care of things.
Drew, what was the question you just asked?
Did you like my college football take over the weekend?
No, I did not. So I was we were flying back during the game in Ireland with number 10 Florida State and unranked Georgia Tech. Of course, Georgia Tech upsets Florida State. Really nice game to watch. Enjoyed it. Kickoff. Everybody's feeling it. It's college football back. Great. And then you fired off a tweet that said what?
And I knew what I was doing when I did it. I knew exactly what I was doing.
And what was the tweet?
How many NFL regular season games are better than the one that we saw between Florida State and Georgia Tech? And you cannot say
like 90% of them.
Okay.
Like 90% of them. It was a really good college football game, but you have to admit it also seemed better because we were starved of college football.
So hungry for it.
So I think there's truth to
tragically
that.
Hungry.
It was a really good game, but let's relax. And there's what? This coming week there's going to be 100 and something college football games.
Kansas is a 45-point favorite in a game this week.
K-State's like Missouri's also a 40-something point favorite. Like you can't tell me that those are more interesting games than week one pick. It could be, I don't even know. It could be Cardinals-Panthers, and that's a better
game.
And
they're always a three-point game.
I'm not going to claim to be an expert, but based on how the last weekend went, you need to bet Lindenwood on the points, by the way, and the spread in that one.
We'll get to that Thursday.
This is a common mistake people make with college basketball, too. Just because a game is close does not make it a great game.
Saturday's game was great,
but this is where Drew's like, every college football game, just because, unless college football games are close, just because they're close does not make them a good game.
I said, this Georgia Tech, Florida State, I know that there are garbage, like the Lindenwood, Kansas game, that's not going to be a good football game.
No.
But,
no.
And I understand the output is a lot more, but you can't tell me that you would rather watch a Bears-Panthers game from last year, a stinker on Thursday night, that's 12-7, Cody. To your point, it's close, but it sucks, than what you saw with Georgia Tech and Florida State. It was a really good game.
It was a good game, but let's not act like that's every game in college football.
I would much rather watch that than watch that bad Thursday night game or the bad Sunday night game that they try to put the Giants on or whatever the case is.
But are we just forgetting that the average point, the margin of victory in college football has got to be like 3 touchdowns on average.
Yeah, but like
how many games just straight up?
In fairness, on the flip side, you did just say the score doesn't.
Yeah, but I'll just tell you right now, the score does not dictate it. But if it's 3 touchdowns, it definitely wasn't a good game.
Yes, it does.
If it was 4 touchdowns different, it wasn't a good game. It's got no chance in that regard.
How many games last year were there where the Giants were within a touchdown of playing, but you would have paid money to watch anything else?
We were watching because of Tommy Cutlets, baby. We were watching because of Tommy Cutlets.
We were watching because of his agent. We weren't even watching because of him.
Stiletto. Or whatever.
I don't know. Because Cody, you are correct in college basketball in particular, I think.
Yeah, that's the perfect example.
I don't know. I think that game on Saturday was better than the Thursday night stinker that
Michigan
we get.
Michigan average beating teams by 25.5 points per game. So like 80% of their games stunk last year. We're uninteresting.
But 100% of the Panthers games stunk last year, too.
Oh, yeah. I definitely for that. 100%.
Anyway, I'm just saying that the NFL, let's not act like sudden.
Specky called me out for that one, too.
Well, yeah. I'm not surprised.
It was not as egregious of a take as it was.
I think so.
But I did know what I was doing because I knew that somebody was going to say something.
All right. Up next, let's talk about the Royals, though. A massive stretch here coming up against the Guardians, including a doubleheader today right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll talk about that and what the Royals can do and what they can't do over the next couple days.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Back here, Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. So tomorrow night, real quick, is our Guillotine League draft out of Jefferson's in North Kansas City. We had someone back out. We have one spot. We're going to make this very quick. Drew will randomly select someone that texts in to 913-586-7965. Your name and email address. Someone randomly will be selected. Preferably, if you can make it out in person tomorrow night. You can also draft online, but we hope to see you tomorrow night. It's our 18-person Cody and Gold Guillotine League. Winner gets free wings for a year from Jefferson. So if you already joined, great, but the draft tomorrow night at 7:15, Jefferson's in North Kansas City. But 913-586-7965. Go ahead and text that in. But let's talk about the Royals, who have a doubleheader today, who are playing the Guardians 7 times over the next 9-10 days or so. While they're 3 back, the Royals are, from the Guardians in the Central. We know the wild card because the Red Sox have been struggling. The Royals do have the cushion, if you want to call it that, at this point with 32 games to go in the season. They have a 4.5 game lead over the Boston Red Sox. They made some moves. We'll get to the roster moves today. A couple of them coming out in the last, 5 or 10 minutes, making it official, specifically with the bullpen. Plus, we already knew Alec Marsh is going to be appointed as the 27th man for today's doubleheader. But this stretch, we've all talked about the 20 games, but right here, this doubleheader, this couple
these
of games,
four games,
these four plus the three later, like those are division deciders. Fortunately, the wild card race has been going pretty well, even though you lost a series against the Phillies.
Still
over
tied
the weekend.
With Minnesota, still 4.5 games up on Boston.
But the division, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say or anything that you could lose the division over the next four games.
That's what's scary about it. It's not in any way. They can't win the division in these next four games, but they can absolutely 100% lose it. It can be over. Those three games next week at home won't matter. They can lose the division as it sits over these next four. Now, it would require getting swept, but hell, losing 3 of 4 would put you 5 games back with only 30 games to play and only 3 games remaining against Cleveland. You can't fundamentally make up the gap in the way in which you would like. And so, and it's big because like you're going to get a sense of where Alec Marsh is or how they might use him in September call-up form, or if they're going to use him to start for someone, to give somebody a day off as the season goes on. Because as of today, Daniel Lynch is up. He's going to replace Angel Zerpa. Also, I think Carlos Hernandez is back up to replace Will Smith. Will Smith, a terrible case of the can't get anybody outs. Really flared up the last couple of weeks.
Lower back spasms, very timely there.
But so the, you know, like the way that it's set up right now, they're going to be relying on some of these young arms. But yeah, they can lose the division in the next four games. They go 2-2, then we're just pushing this problem down the road, and I would tell you anything is possible. So that's the minimum for me. Over the next four games, if you want to stay in the American League Central race, you got to go at least 2-2. Obviously, 3-4 or sweeping all four opens the division up to where I might start thinking you're the favorite to win this thing, because you would definitively have something on Cleveland by then. You'd be 9-2 against Cleveland with three to play. You would lock up the tiebreaker against them. You'd have a million things going in your favor against that team, including apparently just having their number, which sometimes happens in an individual season, whether one team's performed better or not.
We all knew these games against the Guardians out of the 20-game stretch, of course, were the most important. That's why we were trying to figure out, hey, what record do they need to have after that 20-game stretch and everything? It's not so much the overall record, but hey, were they a game under 500 in the 20 game stretch? But they were unbelievable against the Guardians and took five of the seven, like, or the opposite. Like, it's weird. It's not so much the winning record over 20. Like, they lose a series against the Phillies, really disappointing. Saturday and Sunday they got blown
out. Especially because the same thing, you get game one and then just get your ass kicked in 2 and 3.
Really disappointing outing. But ultimately, the games against the Guardians matter more. And so that's where there are no excuses in this particular series against Cleveland, starting with the doubleheader today. And it puts a lot of pressure on, luckily, you know, it's Cole Reagans again. But luckily, you have Cole Reagans to get this thing started in the doubleheader.
Well, and again, Alec Marsh generally has pitched very well this year, was pitching worse before he was sent down to preserve his innings, but has also pitched really well in AAA. So there's no reason why Alec Marsh can't perform well against Cleveland today. But Reagans has been the ultimate stopper. And this goes back to the same thing that we talk about for why, if anyone's just like feeling down on the Royals because they again lost a series to a good team, is one thing we definitively know about Reagans and one thing that has been true for 130 plus games this year. The Royals don't go on long losing streaks. That's why they've been able to stay in the American League Central race. Other teams have struggled to stop the bleeding for 4, 5, 6 games where the Royals, Cole Reagans eventually shows up, right? So for the day game today, they've lost 2 in a row and Lugo got roughed up and Singer got roughed up again. And for the fourth straight week, Golder, actually 3 times out of the last 4 straight starting circles, Cole Reagans will be asked to be the starting pitcher out of the 3 of them that gets the dub. And the other 2 times he's answered the bell. And all 4 times during this, he's answered the bell. So it's hard for me to imagine he won't once again step up to the plate for the Royals, even though Sandlin is a tough matchup. And I'm not saying that the Guardians can't get the
tough
win. But
these are going to be tough. You can already tell watching and listening to the Phillies series. Like, there's a different energy level. And the Royals, unfortunately, ran into a Phillies offense that beat them up consistently on Saturday and Sunday. And pitching wasn't good enough, plain and simple. And there were also mistakes. How many times have we said we know the formula? A lot of times, if you get blown out, you get blown out. But a lot of times when the game's close, if the Royals are losing those, it's, you know, base running errors, fielding errors, defensive mistakes. I mean, that's what happened a little bit in this series. I will say, though, I don't know if you, I saw a lot of, once again, because it was a playoff team and the Phillies got the best of the Royals this weekend, that it's once again proof that they can't beat good teams. And
there's evidence to support that.
There is evidence to that. But using that as in, well, then it doesn't matter anyway, I don't get that logic. I had multiple people reach out to me on social media. I'm sure you get the same mentions as well at times. They're like, well, they can't believe the Phillies, so it just doesn't matter. I don't want them to make the playoffs to just lose in the first round. Like,
are you nuts?
What's up with
they won 56 games last year.
And what's up? That logic is ridiculous.
Flawed.
Absolutely.
Incredibly flawed.
For a variety of reasons. One, the obvious, which is like, what are we doing here? They haven't been in the playoffs in almost 10 years, so that's silly. The other part is the Diamondbacks were the final wild card team a year ago and went to the World Series. So this notion of like, it doesn't matter. And then also, we bring up how the Royals have fared against playoff teams. It's not been great. They're 19-25. They're 6 games under. The Guardians are 20-26 against current playoff teams. The Twins are 20-30. So let's.
Before you're just like, they can't be playoff teams. No one can, apparently. Everyone's schedule has been buoyed by the White Sox.
Correct.
That's why the American League Central might have three playoff teams.
Correct.
Is there a combined 4,001 against Chicago this year?
There are not great teams in the American League this year. Not great teams. There's a lot of really good teams. The Royals are part of that bunch, but so are the Guardians, so are the Twins, and so are the majority of baseball, frankly. And so, yeah, these are all valid concerns. We know this team's been flawed. We know they haven't been great against playoff teams, and all this is going to get sorted out during this 20-game stretch. But if we're going to point out the Royals haven't been great and why they just can't do anything anyway, so why does it matter? Then let's at least acknowledge the Guardians and Twins against playoff teams have been terrible.
So you're just saying it's the Yankees or the Astros who are going to go to the postseason this year. And I just don't think that it's down to just those two teams. I wanted to pull up because I thought talking about the Diamondbacks only won 84 games last year. They had a negative run differential. They had a 400 winning percentage against playoff teams. They had a below 500 winning percentage against teams above 500. They played 500 baseball in August and September. They got blown out more than they blew somebody out. Like, I can give you every stat in the world that suggests the Diamondbacks had no business being in the World Series last year. The Royals are a better team this year than the Diamondbacks were last season on paper in every way.
We should know.
So just get to the postseason and there's hope. I'm not saying give up on the division yet.
Yeah.
But the idea, I'm with you. The idea that there's fans that be like, well, if they're just going to lose in the first round, then what's the point? What's the point? They won 56 games last year and they'd be a postseason team. The point would be this team is in competition again, which I would have taken a million times out of a million before the season started.
Yeah, I mean, right here in Kansas City, we should know 14. I mean, in 2014, this team got it as a wild card. One game wild card. We all know what happened in the A's game. We know what happened the remainder of the postseason. Am I predicting the Royals are going to the World Series? Absolutely not. But the idea that, like, well, you know, this is going to be an embarrassing first-round loss is just, I'm sorry, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Can we enjoy the ride? I know a lot of you are. Most of you are. Can we enjoy the ride? There's 32 games or whatever to go. And this team has a 4.5 game lead in the wild card. They're three back from the top wild card, and they're three back in the division. Let's see what happens today. Because I know how this works. If the Royals end up somehow
people are going to come in today and be like, we're winning the World Series.
If the Royals sweep the doubleheader today, which would be incredible. I'm not saying they're going to, but that'd be incredible. Then yeah, we come in tomorrow and. You know, every day, this is what's fun about every day. Everybody gets high and low. It just doesn't matter.
So the one concerning thing over the weekend has been the trend for the last 2 months, which is Singer and Lugo. I need one of you to step to the plate.
Haven't been good enough.
In a big series, in a big game. And they know that. Like, if they were listening to this show right now, they know what I'm saying is true. Either Seth Lugo or Brady Singer, ideally both. One of the two of them, the next time out, is it Houston at the end of this week? Who will they get in the next? I forget. I just know that it's all difficult teams, and I can't remember the order now. Whoever it is after the Guardians.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Who's up? Because we know they're all playoff teams. We know that they're all good teams, well above 500 teams, et cetera, et cetera. In your next start, Lugo or Singer, you have got to, it is the Astros, you have got to put a good start on paper. Win the damn game for your team. Because this weekend, I know it'd be easy to look at 11-2 and 11-3 and be like, they got their ass kicked. I just want everyone to know that those games were hanging around the same to the fifth inning or the sixth, both. Royals were within a run, close games, fighting for it. And then when the starting pitching let the game get away, they went to the bad bullpen arms and the game got out of damn control. Had the starter kept it to a one-run game, I don't think they throw out Will Smith. I don't think they throw out Angel Zerpa. I think they go to the good arms. And there's a chance that they actually win one of those two games that although they were 7 or 8 or 9 run games, you're like, you're trying to tell me they had a chance to win that game? And yes, both of them finished exactly the same way, which was they were in it. starting let it get too far out of control, and they had to go to the bad arms.
I mean, heck, even an extreme example of that is Garrett Hampson was pitching the ninth inning. That was the right call. Why worry about taxing more arms when you got a doubleheader coming up the next day? So Garrett Hampson's out there preventing someone from getting a cycle.
Perfect. And by the way, like Lugo, at someone's point, like Lugo got soft hit to death yesterday. I'm not going to pretend like he didn't. It was 5 infield singles. Tough day for that.
Yeah, and defense had a rough day too. I mean,
but that's a pretty consistent theme. Is like in the games where things don't go well, they play sloppier baseball.
Yeah, because they're a flawed team. As we said, there's no great team. The Royals are not a great team. And so they can't overcome those mistakes. And that's what happened a couple times throughout the weekend. And the same thing would be in play today. If they have mistakes on the base pass or in the field, they're going to lose these games to the Guardians if that happens. They don't have to play perfect baseball. But man, you just cannot leave any wiggle room for teams that they're playing right now. Yes. Playoff teams. You can't.
Because they're good teams and they'll take advantage of your mistakes.
I think the Royals will also pounce. If the Guardians make mistakes, I think the Royals take advantage of it. That's what happens this time of the year and in these games that are so crucial.
Yeah, commonly. And again, they are very Jekyll and Hyde in that when the Royals are playing good baseball, they really do look like the best team in the sport. Starting rotation going 7 innings, allowing no earned runs. Bullpen with Urseg at the back end, 2 innings, looks great. Best player in baseball in Witt. Salvi's hitting homers. Like, when they look good, they look good. And they're one of the best defensive teams in baseball when they're not making mistakes. But then if it's Garrett Hampson dropping the ball or little squibbers in the infield they can't seem to handle, or they're letting guys steal bases or score on pass balls, they kind of let things pile up on them a little bit when things are going weird. But again, they're 5-2 against Cleveland this year. They come out of this series, 7-2, or not 7-2. Let's say they win 7-4. You can't tell me that they can't hang with some of the better teams in the American
League. How do you think today goes, though?
I think they win the Reagans game and lose the Marsh one, if you made me guess.
I mean, that makes sense. But I mean, hard to argue with that. That's the logic makes sense. Your best pitcher, one of the best pitchers in baseball, you get that one, split. Hopefully.
I think most doubleheaders against good teams are.
Gotta be a split, though.
Like, yeah, you can't get walked.
Gotta be a
split. It's a lot like if you're a poker player and you play like any kind of cash game and like people to reduce the swings like to just like run it twice. Hey, we're all in. Let's put out 2 boards. It's the same thing. It's good to win the first. Just go out there and win the first one. And then the second game of the doubleheader feels a little bit more like free money where, yeah, you can at least afford to lose it and not feel like you're going down versus the other way around. Cause it's Lorenzen tomorrow and then Walker again on Wednesday. So like Lorenzen, he's pitched very well, but less answers there typically than Walker or Lugo or Reagan. So I think it's probably a split.
Yeah, Reagan, we said it after Reagan's last outing. His last outing was not good. Reagan's cannot have an outing like he had last time out the rest of the season. So that applies to today. It applies to every other outing. His last time we came on the show the next day and said that outing, fair enough.
It's funny. That was coming off of Lugo and Singer doing well. Yeah,
it was. Because there was up until this recent, the prior week of the rotation, everybody had been good. That last rotation, last time through the rotation, I was going to say the last rotation through the rotation was great. And then now they've had some issues. So Cole Reagans cannot have an outing like he had the last time again the rest of the season.
No. They just can't afford, like, those three guys and Walker, really, four. They can't afford a lot of duds against these teams because, if you got a dud against the Yankees, they're going to score 15. So you have a dud against the Phillies, they're going to put 10 on the board. And so you have to avoid that. Just the straight up bad start that kind of undoes it. For those who were just tuning into the show, we did talk about the signing of Juju Smith-Schuster, who obviously brought back to the Chiefs. I got more responses on Twitter doing this. Either you and I are way off of what Juju Smith-Schuster's actual production is going to be, or they're going to be like 80% of social media fans or the text line fans are going to hate the production level of Juju Smith-Schuster this year. Because it seems like I'm in the minority for thinking he's much closer to a 300-yard receiver than a 900-yard receiver in this offense. Because when everyone's healthy, he is still option 5 in the passing game, behind Hollywood, behind Rashee, behind Kelsey, behind Worthy, in my opinion, and should be behind Pacheco from a just targets perspective. Like 5, 6? Like what level of target? What number of targets should Juju Smith-Schuster be on this team?
Well,
everyone's healthy week 4.
Yeah, but I mean, it at least has to be 6, Cody. He's a 6 receiver for this team this year. 5th, if we're being generous. 5th. before you get to Kelce, before you get to Pacheco, and maybe even Jared Wiley, depending on everybody's expectations for him. He had a quiet preseason after a lot of the discussion heading into training camp. But yeah, we are still, just like I told you that any conversations about wide receiver 6 and 7 deep down don't matter a whole lot. That's kind of where Juju's at. Five or six, probably not going to matter. Did they get better, as we said, with the signing?
Yes,
because he's better than Tony or whoever you think is getting cut because of this now. And I thought Tony was already getting cut anyway. But you and I, this is one of those times where we're actually on the same page fully with an expectation for a wide receiver.
Yeah, and you and I, we sometimes differ pretty wildly on those.
And I'm with you. If over-under was set at 325.5 receiving yards, I would probably take the under.
Yeah, same. This is also why I think Rashee Rice is a 1,200-yard receiver this year. So, like, I just don't think there's room. And I think Travis Kelce's a 1,000-yard receiver. I think Hollywood Brown's like a 750-yard. So, like, where would the number come from? Unless Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 6,000 yards. I think they just got better on third down. I won't say they got better across the field, across the board. I think they got better on third and five. Like, situationally, I think they got better today. But Juju's never been a touchdown guy. He's got 4 touchdowns total over the last 3 seasons. Even in the good year for the Chiefs, we had 900 yards, 3 touchdowns.
He's a guy who can move the chains.
So he's not like a red zone guy.
He can move the chains, you know, some underneath routes, reliable, bigger target. And that's what he was a couple years ago.
Someone says, Patrick's going for 6,500 yards. We won't even put linemen out there. Just 6 or 7 receivers on the field.
That's the other thing with you. Even what you just said, you're like, I think he'll help him on third downs. How often is the 6th wide receiver or 5th receiver on the field on third downs? Not very often. So,
is he still behind Justin Watson in production this year?
I think so.
Like, how many receivers, how many people on this team finish with more receiving yards than Juju Smith-Schuster?
4 at least.
Okay, Hollywood. Yes. Rashee.
Yes.
Travis.
Yes.
Pacheco. Yeah, 400 yards receiving last year.
Because they're going to use Pacheco in the slot at times this year.
And in the, I think, the screen game, probably. That's fine.
Juju.
And that's fine. Again, I don't have a problem with it.
Nobody should be against the signing. That's silly. But let's just have reasonable expectations. I think that's all you and I have been saying about this. Reasonable expectations for what we should expect Juju to be in this offense, either because you think he doesn't have it anymore because of the knees, or just the role of him on the depth chart. Like, they didn't sign him to jump in and be the number 3 receiver. That's not reality. They're paying him the vet minimum. That's why you don't hate it either. Vet minimum, and he's going to actually catch the football if he gets an opportunity in a game, whereas you couldn't expect that from MPS last year
Sky.
Or Tony. Yeah.
And, like, I guess the one thing I don't trust him at all from a reliability standpoint is, can he still get open? Can Juju Smith-Schuster separate? Is a very real
offense,
question
in,
I have.
In this offense,
and he's
yes.
better at scheming people open, than, like just scheming them open, not like he does it all on his own. So that might be true.
And he's always been a possession receiver. That's always
what did you
is.
Say before the show? 250 yards, you said, Cody? 280, is that what you said?
Yeah, 280, 290.
280 would put him below Noah Gray from last year.
Okay, so there's another guy who, like, and that's, again, that's fine. My thing is, I think sometimes if you set a reasonable expectation, it means you hate the deal. I got nothing against this deal. You know why? Because it's the difference between, let's just say that they were, it made them 0.5 percentage point better. 0.5%. Okay, I'll take 0.5% better. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
0.5% better can make the difference in a 1-game scenario, in a 2-point game, in a week 7 game. Cool, that's fine.
913-586-7965 right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to hand things off to Vern in just a couple of minutes for his on-deck show as the Royals have a doubleheader right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. On the text line, someone says, hey, would you rather have, this is simple for them, would you rather have Juju on the bench or Sky on the bench? Easy answer. One, I don't think that's going to be the trade-off, but
I think it's Justin Ross or him, but sure.
I get the point. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's Juju over one or two guys on the depth chart.
We got to get going. About to start.
Royals baseball is about to start, Juju, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's going to take it from here and get you set for a massive doubleheader here in Kansas City against the Guardians.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.